Thank God for the passage that was just read to us today. It's a very familiar passage, right? We'll take some time to dwell on this particular passage. But before we do that, let's just bow down and ask God to be with us as we spend some time with Him. Father, we realize, O God, how much we need You as we come before Your presence, O God. We pray that as we sit, Lord, at Your presence, we want to hear Your word. We want Your word, O God, to be speaking to us. Lord, help us to be sensitive to the prompting of the Spirit. And Father, we pray that we will live a life of obedience, Father, giving ourselves totally to You. We thank You for giving Your word to us. We thank You, Lord, that we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the past few weeks I've been speaking about ministry, right? Because it's important for us to be involved in the ministry that God has given to us. And God has talented us, right? Or even gifted us with many gifts. And I think it's always important as people who love Him to serve Him with all zeal and passion that is given to us. You know, every time I read the passages, you know, every time I read the Bible, I begin to see, you know, it's so wonderful because, you know, every time I read, this is what I'm looking. Right? I see just Jesus did all for us. Right? He came into this world because of love. He came, right? He could have come on a different way, but He came because He loved us so much. He taught because He wanted to give us the teaching that we need to live a life for Him. The way He lived a life, a very simple life, it was a great model for us, right? He suffered. And why? It's not because He did mistakes or something wrong, but it's because of love for us. And finally, you know, at the cross of Calvary, if you realize, you know, He died not because Jesus committed any crime or sin, because He wanted to save each and every one of us, right? And He's coming back. You know why? It's all for us. It's all for us. So every time I dwell on God's word or read God's word, I don't just see stories. I see that God is doing almost done everything for us, right? He sent the prophets, He sent great teachers to come to teach us. And the same note, He came into this world, right? He took the form of a man. It's just all for us, all for us. Nothing for Himself. No, He gave everything because of love for us. But you know, as I dwell on this particular thing, I also ask myself this question, you know, what am I doing for Jesus? You know, Jesus came because of me. He came because of you. He came because He saw the need of this world. He taught, He lived, He died. It's all because of us. And so I ask myself, you know, what am I doing for God who loves me so much, right? He gave everything and he just lived for me. And even now as I'm speaking and I know the Lord is hearing me, He's just sitting beside me or, you know, dwelling in my heart and just listening to us, what's happening in our lives. The presence of the Spirit is always when we come, you know, in His name. And so we need to ask ourselves, what am I doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, the passage that was given to us or read to us today, it's Mark chapter 14. It's a very familiar passage, right? It's a passage that talks about a woman who comes, and by the way, she's Mary. The scholarship says it's Mary. She comes because she wanted to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. I think we know. And so what's happening, Jesus is in the house of this Simon the leper. He's sitting there, and this lady comes, Mary comes, straight to Jesus, and she anoints, she breaks the alabaster perfume oil, and she just pours it at the feet of Jesus at the same time and on the head of Jesus, and she's just worshiping Him. Just, I want you to just take a moment to, you know, look at what's happening here. She's doing it. She's just anointing the body of Christ. And so when I was looking at this particular passage, I was asking myself, you know, the Lord wants us to be like Mary, right? She was anointing the body of Christ. In other words, she was anointing Jesus at that moment. So when I was reflecting and asked myself, Lord, how can I be like Mary, just anointing the body of Christ, right? When you look around, you know, you don't see people. Actually, you look at the body of Christ. Turn to the person beside you, you know. They are not Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. They are part of the body of Christ. As Mary anointed the body of Christ, I think, friends, you and I can anoint the body of Christ, right? We can serve the body of Christ. We can encourage the body of Christ. And we can be there for the body of Christ. She was doing it because of love. She was doing it because she was preparing Jesus for his death on the cross for us. And so it's important for us to serve, right? What am I doing for Jesus? What am I doing in the church? What am I doing with the gifts that God has given to me? Am I anointing the body of Christ? Am I encouraging, you know, my fellow brothers and sisters? Am I praying for them? Am I supporting them? Am I with them in times of need, in difficulties? If there is a need for ministry, am I saying, you know, I'm just ready to serve because I want to anoint the body of Jesus. I want to encourage people because we belong to the body of Christ. I think Mary is a great example for us. This entire month, we are going to be, you know, going to be getting ourselves involved in community barbecue. It's not another barbecue event that we want to do a program to fill up our calendar. You know, we want to reach out to people, to friends, you know, because we want to serve. We want to show that, you know, the love of Christ compels us, that we want to do this because of the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what am I doing for Jesus? Some of the lessons that we can draw from Mary are great things about ministry, about service, about worship, you know. And I thought we will just focus in terms of ministry, how, you know, Mary was able to serve, and we are called to serve. Now, looking at the passage very carefully, I realized, you know, Mary had a very sensitive spirit. Right? She had a very sensitive spirit. Look at the scene. The disciples were unhappy. In certain passage, it says the disciples were very angry, very upset. You know, what's happening? This lady is, you know, pouring out. She has, you know, the alabaster oil of nard, and she's, you know, it's a waste of money, right? And Judas, in another passage, it says it was Judas. And in this particular passage, it says some of them. So I was just trying to imagine, you know, there's one group of people who were so unhappy, very upset with what Mary is doing. And I was asking myself, why is Mary doing this? You know, I realized that she was very sensitive. The disciples were not sensitive. In other words, they were looking for Jesus to be the earthly ruler. They were just looking for Jesus to overturn the rule of the Roman Empire and to establish his earthly kingdom. They were looking for positions. They wanted to be in control. And that's why they were always asking God, Lord, when will you? Right? When will you establish your kingdom? They were looking at earthly ways, my friend. But Mary was much more sensitive. I think she knew. She knew that, you know, Jesus is going to die. Maybe she doesn't know, you know, why, but I think she knew. Why do I say this, my friend? When you look at this passage very carefully, every time you see Mary, what's happening? Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. I think that's a secret. She is sensitive. She knows the heartbeat of the Lord. You know why? She have developed it, my friend, by sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, the more she was sitting, she was aware. Martha was just running around preparing, which is a wonderful ministry. I'm not against that kind of ministry, my friend. But Mary was, you know, the Lord said, you know, She had a good portion of it, right? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, just hearing his word, feeling the heartbeat of Jesus. I think that's the way, my friend. Today, if you want to know the will of God for your life, you know, many times people come and say, you know, what's God's plan for my life? As if God is withholding something. You know, it's when I start sitting at the feet of Jesus, having a closer relationship with this God, you know, dealing on God's word, praying, meditating on God's word. Let me tell you, you begin to realize, and that's happening in the life of Mary. She developed it because she was found, every time you see her, she's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Do you want to know what's God's plan for your life? Let me encourage you to sit at the feet of Jesus. Do you know what God wants you to, in terms of your career, right? Even your life partner and all that kind of a thing. Sit at the feet of Jesus, my friend. If you want to be involved in ministry, you know, I do not know, I want to be involved. What kind of ministry should I be involved? Sit at the feet of Jesus. And she was able to be sensitive to the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. What happened? She did not leave it there. Secondly, if you look at it, you know, she displayed her sensitivity. In other words, you know, she knew what was, you know, probably, you know, she knew that was happening in her heart, and she cannot stop it, right? She was not just listening and listening and listening. You know, she started displaying it. She showed it, my friend. She came. You know, many times I think, you know, I have seen people, you know, what happens, I think we know what God is telling us, right? But we are afraid to make the first step and say, Lord, I want to do it for you. The first step of faith, my friend, it's a struggle. Can you imagine? The disciples are sitting, and it's not acceptable in those days in their social norms, you know, for a woman to walk in when men were sitting and or feasting or talking. It's not socially acceptable. You know, she displayed because she cannot control. I want to anoint the legs of my Savior, the head of my Savior. And she displayed. And you know what Jesus said? I think Jesus said these powerful words. She did what she could, my friend. I think that's very important for us, right? This is what she can do, and she did it, and she gave it everything to God. She did what she could, you know, and so none of us here can say, you know, I cannot do anything for Jesus. None of us, right, including myself. I think we are, and Jesus could have said, you know, oh, Mary just did something. No, no, no. She did what she could, and that was what she's able to do, and she did it for the Lord Jesus Christ. So what can you do, my friend? I think all of us have multi-talents, right? But what is God prompting you to do? I think that's important for us, right? If you want to hear God's prompting, start sitting. Start sitting. When you start sitting, you start hearing. And when you start hearing, you know, let's start doing what God wants us to do. And what? How did she do it? You know, let's look at the remaining passage or verses. You know, can you imagine she comes, how she is doing it with a lot of sacrifice involved. Very interesting word in the Greek text. What happens? I think she's coming and she's giving the alabaster perfume, very expensive perfume, made of pure nard, and she comes and gives. In the Greek text, it's a very interesting word. It says that she was using the real perfume, not the ones we buy in Dollarama, right? It has nice, beautiful bottle. It's in the Greek, it means it's real stuff, my friend. She gave God the best. Not that I don't want this. And so what is happening? I'm going to give God what is not the best. She gave God the best. The real stuff. That's the Greek word, the real perfume, the genuine thing, and she gave it to God. I remember, you know, I do not know whether I told you this, when I was in Korea, thrice I've gone to Korea, and I was visiting the largest churches. I was in a part of a delegation of five pastors, just visiting and looking at church growth in Korea. You know, I was really fascinated. You know how people give to God? They gave their dollars. It's almost like fresh from the bank. It's not crumpled. It's so neat and so nice. I asked the pastor why, because he said, you know, that's the way people wanted to give. They don't want to give if it's a torn dollar, right? It's not, you know, I just crumple or, you know, so let's take the last one. No. They gave God the best. I know sometimes in certain festivals we give, you know, what happens? We give the best, neat, not been circulated, not been used at all. And how? I think that was Mary. Right? She gave. And she gave the real one. She broke the thing. In other words, you know, it means, she told herself, you know, I'm going to give all. I'm not just going to pour. When she broke, it means that she was ready to pour everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the leftovers, my friend. Not the ones I cannot use, so let's give it to church. In my pastoral ministry, I've seen people, I'm not talking about our church, right? You know, when we need furnitures in the church, people will give furnitures if they are, you know, the used one, and so that they can get rid of the used one so they can get a new one for the house. Second-hand stuff, right, to the church. And that's the way, you know, some people are. But Mary was totally different. In their culture, what was happening, you know, scholars say this is what she have actually prepared for like a dowry for her. So when she gets married, you know, this is the only dowry she has, money-wise, right? And in other words, if she's giving it away, chances of her getting married is very slim. Because in those days, if you want to get married, you know, what happens? A woman gives a dowry. And that was the dowry for her. She could have said, Lord, you know, I can't give this. I can give the one which is not so important to me. You know, I've saved for my future. You know, this is my life, God. And she gives it all for Jesus. That's mad. That's the kind of sacrifice I think God wants from us. And also when I'm doing ministry, when I'm involved, am I giving the best for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or am I just giving the leftovers to Him? I'm doing it just because, you know, I just want to kill time. Because, you know, I have to do. Because I'm part of the church, of body of Christ. I'm a member of the church. But Mary was totally different, my friend. She gave the best. Right, she could have kept it, but she gave it to God. The Bible says, I think we need to give God the best. So today, are we giving God the best? Right? Or are we giving God the leftovers? Paul reminds the young minister in 2 Timothy, he says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Even in deed, right? In Colossians, he talks about it, right? It's giving your best to God. Sometimes you might say, Pastor Vincent, you know, maybe you're exaggerating. You know, people don't give the leftovers to God. Let me tell you, it happened in the book of Malachi, right? If you read Malachi chapter 1, verse 13, this is what God is speaking, and God is saying, you know, these people gave to God, and you know, and you say, God says, you know, what a burden, right? And you say, God is looking at the Israelites and saying, you know, this is how you give. As if it's a burden for you. And not only that, how they were giving? When you bring in injured lamb and diseased animal and offer them as sacrifices. Can you imagine? Israel was a chosen nation for God, and they were taking the good ones and giving, sacrificing animals that were injured, lame, diseased animal, and gave it to God. And they saw it as a burden to give it to God, my friend. It happened, right? It happened during the time of Malachi. Dear friends, I think we need to ask ourselves, when I'm involved in ministry, am I giving the best to God? Am I giving the best? And I'm all out for Jesus, right? Am I doing it with that kind of zeal, that kind of passion? And I want to give to God my best. And this is what I have, right? C.D. Stott, great man, you know, who went as a missionary to China, right? He says, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Let's move on. You know, when you look at the passage, you know, I just like, you know, and she, thirdly, I think I realized she had a very steadfast heart, which is very important for the church. Today we get discouraged very easily, right? When we hear people comment on certain things or make remarks, we easily feel discouraged. And so what's happening here, when you look at the passage, is not only she's giving the best to God, but she's steadfast. Look at the passage. She comes running. She comes to Jesus, straight to Jesus. She have told herself, I'm going to Jesus, right? I'm not going to ask Andrew for permission. I'm going straight to the Lord, and I'm going to anoint him. I'm going to pour this expensive perfume. She comes straight with that kind of mind, my friend. I want to serve God, and I want to give it all to him. And then what happens, you know, when she's giving, the disciples were unhappy. They were murmuring, right? Very strong words are used here. Very strong words. They were just very upset. They were saying, you know, they were having almost like a discussion. You know, she's just wasting. It would have been used for a better purpose, right? Can you imagine when you're serving and someone is saying, you know, you are not so good. What happens? What happens? Right? We feel discouraged. We take a step back, right? And we take another step back. And the third step, what happens? We're out of the church. We leave the church. But Mary was like, no. Can you imagine the disciples were just murmuring, making comments, you know? It's all negativity was around. Let me tell you, criticism is contagious. And they were just gossiping. They were just unhappy. But Mary told herself, no. I want to serve my God, right? Peter might be just staring at me. I'm not bothered. Judas might be making the strangest remarks about me. I just want to serve God, and I want to do it for him because I love him. And that is steadfastness, my friend. You know, today, yes, we live in a very sensitive world. I think we need to be very careful with comments, you know. So I'm not saying that, you know, you should start, you know, making remarks on people. I'm not encouraging that, right? But let me tell you, you cannot avoid that. When you're involved in ministry, when you want to do something for God, you know, there will be comments. There will be negative words that might be said, maybe in front of you or even behind you. But when I'm sincere and I do it with love for Jesus, you know, do your best, right? Because the Lord knows what you're doing. What happens? I think Jesus said, you know, she has done a good work. You know, and Jesus could have said, you know, yeah, I hear you guys, you know, what a wonderful discussion, you know. Maybe there's some kind of truth in what you're saying. Yeah, it's a waste of money. You know, we could have actually invested in something else. Jesus could have said, at the same note, you know, it's good. You know, Jesus could have actually had a discussion like that. You know, normally that's the way we discuss things. But Jesus said, no. What she does, it's good. It's good. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Right? He was totally against what the disciples have said. Right? He said it was good. And lastly, let me finish with this. She had a servant spirit. Look at the word very carefully. I think she's coming because she wanted to serve the Lord, right? And the way she was, when I say the spirit of the servant, right? She wanted to serve Jesus. With what? It was a loving work. She was just, when she was pouring the perfume, for a moment I was trying to imagine, if I pour perfume here, what happens? You smell the fragrance, right? And you know what kind of perfume, you know, the it's been poured out. So, and that was the word. It was just a loving word, you know. A fragrance was spreading. I just want to show God's love. It was a loving word because I love my Savior and I want to give. And not only that, lastly, if you realize, it was a lasting work. Jesus said, this will be spoken. Right? Today we are preaching. This even happened 2,000 years ago. But even today we are preaching about it. You know why? Right? Because she wanted to do the best for God. Because it was a ministry out of love. Dear friends, you know, when we do, you know, we have to ask ourselves, you know, when I am doing, is my ministry, is my service bringing fragrance, sweet fragrance to people around me? Right? Will someday someone say, you know, that was a wonderful ministry, right? It impacted my life. Maybe the person is no more in the church, right? Sometimes we say, you know, I can't forget because that person's ministry might be small, but that taught me a lot. That taught me a lot. You know, just a few days ago, I was talking to my wife, just reflecting about my younger days. I remember, you know, one of my pastors is a Caucasian man, by the way, and he speaks excellent my language. He speaks my language. Remember, every week, once a week, he will bring me, right? I was a young, you know, teenager kind of a thing. He will bring me to a particular estate, and we will go every house, knocking at the door, giving out tracts and sharing the gospel. And after 2 hours of doing that, he will bring me to a coffee shop and he will buy a coffee for me and also a bread for me. I was not just waiting for that, and I enjoyed every, you know, he's in Boston now, right? And that made a lasting impact in my life. You know, he brought me every week without fail. He taught me, and I went every house just knocking, giving out tracts, and then finishing the ministry with bread and with coffee. You know, I was really impressed. And I think that was one of the things that really inspired me, you know, to look into ministry, into becoming a pastor someday. Dear friends, I think, what a joy to serve this God. What a joy to serve this God, you know. And today we need to tell ourselves, you know, I want to be involved in this kind of ministry. And today I'm standing because of God's love, right? We come here because God has made an impression in our heart. It's living in our heart. You know, once upon a time our lives were totally different. But what has happened? He's shown his love for us. So let's not just stop it there. Let's show his love for people around. Let's go all out for Jesus, right? Let's do, you know, whatever we can, my friend. Let's be steadfast. I serve my God. Nothing else. It's for Jesus. Let's pray. Can you imagine Mary have saved up all for a wedding? A very expensive perfume. If she gives that away, probably she will not get married because there's nothing for her to give. I believe Mary would have actually thought about it. Should I or should I not? Should I give it to Jesus? Should I not give it to him? Maybe let me give him something and just satisfy myself. Dear friends, I think Mary told herself, I know what's the heartbeat of my Lord. Because I've been sitting at his presence. I know what he's been talking to me. I cannot stop. This is the most precious thing and I'll give it to him. People might say, you know, you're wasting. Your life is a waste. Are you involved in ministry? People will consider it as a waste and say, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your life. You can do something much more better in the world outside. That's the way the world looks at today, my friend. What's done for Christ will always last. Father, we thank you, Lord, for working in the life of Mary, O God. And even today as we come, we pray that we will allow your Spirit to work in our lives. Lord, we admit, O God, there are moments in our life we struggle. We struggle, O God, should I or should I not? But help us, O Lord, to reflect on your love. Help us, O Lord, to display the love that we have for you. And help us, O Lord, to do what we can do, O God, with all your grace and power. We thank you, Lord. We pray that even throughout this week that you will stir our hearts and minds, O Father, that we will respond to your word, to your call, to your invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.